open the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By my compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by passionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results excels in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning? Cameron.
I had an opportunity recently to have an insight into an orientation to how I do things.
Always fun.
Yeah. And so it's not like, well, let me just say. So I had this situation with a computer issue with my Facebook page. There were two of them instead of one. One of them had content in it and a photo. The other had a silhouette and didn't have much content. So basically, if anybody would go to that one, it would look very much abandoned. And who is this person who has a Facebook page that's abandoned?
Yeah.
So, and I was taking a course online to learn how to use social media for business. So I needed that to be working rather than try to develop new things and have it attached to an empty. But I couldn't figure out how to get rid of that one account. I just didn't want it to come up at all. So I kept asking people that I thought knew about Facebook and social media, because I
Yeah, there's quotes in the internet, because I got to go outside and get some information from people who know, because I don't.
Yeah, because likely if I got in there and start ditzing around, I'd really create more problem, because I don't know anything about that, and which is very odd, because a good deal of my life has been spent doing things that I don't know how to do and learning them how to do them in the process. But in this particular case, I was really bamboozled that I couldn't do this one because it was beyond what I would be able to.
So let me just reflect the process and catch up with you. So the process is, there's this situation that felt like it was kind of important, right? You needed have a Facebook page that worked, because you're doing this class and you're learning this skill. And you saw this situation that seemed like a problem, that there are these two. And instead of what it seems like your normal process is in work is, okay, I'm in a job where I don't know how to do things, but I'm learning as I do it. But that doesn't sound like that was really available for you in this case. So what you were doing instead, the process was, I've got to ask a bunch of people who know about Facebook how to solve this.
It's like I wouldn't go out and try to fix my car, even though I fixed other machinery. I for some reason, I wouldn't do that. I would take it to a mechanic. And that's kind of how I was doing this problem. I was finding a, I was trying to find a Facebook mechanic.
Yeah.
And so then I asked people, and they tried, and they couldn't find the answer. And so then I'd ask somebody else. I went through a number of people. And finally, I started to get despondent. And I was sitting there with this problem unsolved. It's been going on a long time. Haven't found anybody to help me fix it. They don't have, apparently Facebook doesn't have a support number you can call or whatever. And so I was just thinking, oh, I just have to quit this thing I'm doing because I can't go on. You know, I just have to, and I'm not succeeding. And I was just going down, down, down. And I sent a text off to one more person, trying to get him to rescue me. And then for some reason, I just got on the computer. Now I'm despondent. I don't even know what motivated me to now try, right? So I get on there and I start just poking around and I don't know what I'm doing. So then I saw this thing that said settings. Then I went in there and so I could see that there were one account had one email address. The other account had a different email address. So I started, the wheel started turning, right? Uh-huh. Okay, there's two different accounts, and I just need to get one offline some way. And I just kept poking around and thinking, you know, and finally I scrolled down to this place and it said, log out. So I clicked on it. And the empty one went away. Well, it didn't actually go away. It took me to another page where I could choose which one I wanted.
Yeah.
So I chose the good one, and there it was. But what I didn't say is the good one would disappear. I couldn't see it. Uh-huh. It seemed like the other one was the only one. Uh-huh. So here I got this choice, and I got the good one, and the other one wasn't showing up at this particular point in time. And so I just felt so exuberant.
Yeah.
But I could see that there had been like months where I hadn't even looked to see if I could do something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, you know, just stumbling along and just seeing something.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I've done all the other stuff that I learned how to do. Yeah. It was just stumble along and it's not just stumbling, it's actually just kind of trying to see how things work.
Yeah.
And if you can see kind of how they work, then you can kind of feel your way to what's not working how to fix it.
Yeah, that is so, it is such a important process that you're just laying out. And because it's like, so it's not stumbling at all.
Right.
It's seeing.
Yeah.
And so there you are, despondent, and something just sort of propels you mm-hmm. to give it another try. After sending out that one last rescue. Then it's like, well, let's just do this.
Yeah.
And then it dropped in, oh, there's this. And then it dropped in, oh, there's something that's called settings. And then, oh, it dropped in, oh, let's just scroll down. And it just drops in. And you see
every step,
every single step. And you're seeing all along the way. It's not a matter of kind of haphazardly clicking on things, whatever, you know. It was sort of, it sounds like I'm projecting, like being sort of prompted one step at a time.
Yes, exactly. And so now I still don't know what has caused in the past now, you know, that my good one disappears and the bad silhouette one shows up. Who's logging it on and off? Not me. I didn't even know you could do that. So now I don't know what's the cause of that, but I do know what to do when it happens.
Uh-huh.
Settings, log off, and then I bring up the good one. So that's a huge striving right there. I just check on it periodically to see if that silhouette's around. And
yeah. Because, you know, Cameron, the thing is life answers the question that we're asking.
Yes, exactly. It did.
Uh-huh.
It did.
Because that was the question you were asking was, What do I do here?
How do I get rid of this one?
And now the question that's emerging just now was, well, what's causing this to happen? And is there something else I need to do? So that's what you can be watching for, those things to be dropping in.
Yeah, but I just can't even explain how exuberant, how fun that was to see that it really wasn't even that hard.
I don't know.
And all that time, I was abdicating my own adequacy, believing in this expert that would know how to just, oh, that's easy, I'll just do this, that, and the other thing, and then I would learn it from that person.
Yes, believing that that's the path that will get you where you want to go.
Yes.
Okay, I'm the little one who doesn't know anything. I got to go find the big expert who does, and then that's how I'll get to what I want, which is this thing going away.
Right.
But what, so, and where that took you ultimately was despondent. Because, we might say, because of great good fortune, nobody was there to rescue you.
Nobody knew how to find it.
They didn't know, or they couldn't, And so, from despondent to exuberant, you know, just from turning the attention from, well, there's nobody. Because if somebody had been along to rescue you and saw, oh, Saul, you're there, you just do this and this and this. You know, who's to say that you would have seen that whole process?
Right, right. No, I wouldn't have. It would have been a different process, which would have reinforced that I need to find somebody to consult.
Yes, it would have reinforced the karmic process. Yeah. I need to be rescued.
Yeah. And it, like I said, it is so completely ironic because I, you know, I've been in situations where I've had to do exactly that over and over and over and over, living alone with things breaking down and stuff. So it's just odd that I really believed that this one would, you know what I mean? I couldn't actually do that same process with this.
Yeah, well, it's like it's a computer.
Whatever
is the karma, that the belief, but that's that's interesting too. So here's this area that I really am not adequate in. Now these other ones maybe I'm adequate because I've had some experience doing that, but this one no.
Yeah, and I'm seeing this as a process by which ego has bamboozled me into that kind of experience of being despondent and feeling unable to be successful.
Well, and another way to frame that might be, so here's an area that the practitioner has been chipping away at, that karmic belief.
Because all those other things that I was able to solve over the years, I had the same feeling about. The generator's broken? I don't know anything about a generator. Mm-hmm. But without the generator, there's no water, so I guess I better look into it.
And so there, so the willingness arises to meet the circumstance.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is exactly what happened with this.
Yeah. I've gone through all the experts I could think of, so I had to turn to the, to me.
Yeah, well, okay, mentor, I'll turn to you as a last resort. but you know, it is, you know, it takes whatever it takes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anna, was that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm getting to have a grand old workshop in seeing how I do things, depending on whether I'm following conditioned mind around or being here and listening to life.
Uh-huh.
And getting some distance from a process has always felt like me. So in group on Thursday, I was talking about this awareness of a process where I'm doing something, so like in a retreat, I'm skipping the outhouses, and then on the very last day, conditioned mind starts really upping standards in this really obsessive way, like you've got to go all the way to this far-flung outhouse to top up the water that nobody's going to need, otherwise the assessment on the week will be a failure. So it starts being a really about me process, right?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And the mirror that got held up in group was like, I'm so far already on the way to that outhouse with a jug of water following that process that I'm so exhausted I can barely speak. Uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. So it was like, oh, thank you for that mirror.
Yeah.
There might be a clue here that I'm following conditioned mind around in that process.
The exhaustion, the ridiculous standard,
It's not so cool. I'm in a big ditch and I can't stand up, I'm so exhausted.
By God, I would have gotten that check.
Exactly. And so the process that I'm getting distance from is that ego process of just one more thing, make it better, just one more thing. That's always just felt like me. And the guidance is no just one more thing, no making it better, no better ideas, eyes on the prize, here. When I read that, it was one of those experiences, you know, where there's the, like, that big, huge, disidentifying laugh, yeah, and the heart is happy, uh-huh, and you can actually feel ego screaming, I'm going to die if I don't get to do just one more thing. Yes, it's, yes, so amazing. You can feel a squirm in the third chakra, right?
Yes.
It's like, wow.
And the human, wow, is just, oh, thank God, I'm free.
Exactly. It's like a magnifying glass on where that addiction lives. Uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh. And there it is. There it is. It's not me.
Yes.
Its survival depends on me following around that just one more thing. Just think about that. And what I'm seeing about that is, like, the spiritual issue that I'm getting to encounter is the, like, this ego identification place of, yeah, I'll do the mantra. So the mantra is, be still, be here, life has this. Right? No running around, following conditioned mind. And so the ego identification place is, yeah, I'll choose here, but I do need to keep coming back into existence to watch life like a hawk, to make sure it's doing things the way I think they need to be done. And I do reserve the right to take charge again if it looks like it's not going.
If needed, if need be,
uh-huh, right? And so it's that place of seeing that identification, mm-hmm, and the chance to be free of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the process that is so exhilarating then in that belly laugh sort of way, mm-hmm, is getting that distance,
yeah,
having that disidentification from what felt like you, mm-hmm, of just one more thing, just, mm-hmm, one more thing, and even then on the heels of that, it sounds like the process that then followed that was, okay, you can do that, or I'll do the mantra,
yeah,
I'll do that. But here it is, here's ego regrouping,
right,
but I'll reserve the right to step in.
Yeah.
You know, and you're watching that,
yeah,
and seeing that, okay, there it is, spinning, trying to do its thing, mm-hmm, and any attention that even that gets,
right,
is the slide back, mm-hmm, over into the identity.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Right, that feeling like I need to take charge, and, you know.
And literally, I needs to take charge. That feeling that I needs to take charge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's not you.
Exactly.
It's not you.
and because that's the thing, it's like, okay, In a situation where things start to feel pretty real, there's a deadline, am I going to go with the conditioned mind panic and look to ego, or am I going to stay here? Because if I go with that, that's what I'm practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, stuff gets even more real, then that's what I've been practicing. And that's, you know.
Yeah.
So to really get the stakes of that. And
to get this, okay, so to that last part I'm not sure I'm clear on,
yeah,
but let me see if this is what is dropping in.
Mm-hmm.
So as the real quotes in, mm-hmm, the air, stakes get high, like there is going to be a deadline,
right,
and there are deliverables and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And as that sort of looms larger,
mm-hmm,
to be watching how ego is going to be ramping up its game,
yeah,
to exploit that.
Yes.
So that it may be able to grab your attention back, because look, there really is a deadline. And you've really got to turn to me.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. And if I practice going with that, then that's what I'm practicing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like that's what I'm choosing. And then,
yes,
then that just gets reinforced and reinforced. And when things get even more real, then that's what I've been practicing turning to. So just being clear about that and,
yeah,
making a choice for
eating. Yeah. And the choice is again what the guide said on Thursday, that it feels like it's a, what does it serve you to gain the world but lose your soul?
Exactly.
I mean, when you put it like that,
exactly,
you can be clear what that choice is, to go with the ego, you know, story that you really need me. You know, gaining the world is really more important than, you know, than saving your soul.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And those words were just like, have just been reverberating around, you know, like one of those tuning forks in all the fibers of your being, like, Like, this is it, yeah.
And just the courage of the human being to hold out for no, I think I'm going to go for the soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even though everything that feels like her is saying, this, one more thing, this mm-hmm. is the way, this mm-hmm. is the way. Mm-hmm. No, I think I'm gonna go with the soul.
Right, yeah. Because the going for the world thing is like the devil coming in with like this flattery. Like, so towards mm-hmm. the end, you know, mm-hmm. oh, life's done a pretty good job. Do you know what you could do to make it really good?
Right. Just one more little thing.
And then starts playing fantasies of mm-hmm. awards, recognition, maybe a book deal. I mean, a good person fantasy, because I would donate the proceeds to
the sure. Yeah.
Still fantasy landed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, life's done a good job. Do you know what we could do to really get something out of this and make it really good?
And it would really benefit the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's all like this ego feast, you know?
Yes.
So to just see, okay, that's the devil. That's the devil doing its flattery. Mm-hmm. So it's done that, not good enough, not good enough. Not, oh, mm-hmm. it's actually turning out pretty well.
Mm-hmm. because it knows how to exploit what's real, you know, what's really here, and for its own gain. And wow, what a good deal. I mean, because it wouldn't serve it if it were to tear it down. It's tried that, didn't work.
Right.
So now let's go this plan B.
Right, exactly. So good to see that and get it out and get it, you know. And the interesting part of this final phase is that there are external people now doing the just one more thing. Okay, I see that. That's a really helpful mirror. I know what that is. And what I need to do is just give them what they want, right? In that, you know, like being clear about what's going on, but not fighting it.
Not engaging in that how.
Exactly.
That ego how. But you give them what they want. Without going to that place within yourself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Without going to that self-hate of, oh, God, they're right.
Yeah. There is just one more thing.
There is just one more thing. It's my fault I didn't think of it.
Could have thought of it. I know I should have followed that. Exactly. Boy, yeah, none of that.
So just, it's amazing to feel that distance where there isn't that calibrating to the process that's coming at you, mm-hmm. but like the staying mm-hmm. and then, okay, I'm not going to do a self-will fighting back and, you know, have ego mess it up that way.
Yeah.
Just, all right, yeah, thank you, but...
Yes. Yeah. Talk about freedom, huh?
Yeah.
When the external voices come at you with the same message mm-hmm. that ego has been coming at you with, and there's no believing it there either.
Yeah.
That's a real place of freedom. I mean, it's a not believing it, so you're not calibrating. It doesn't pull you back to calibrating with ego.
Right.
You can just go, uh-huh, well,
Yeah.
And going on.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. June.
Wow. Everything everyone has said is just.
Yeah.
I had the process about fixing the computer or the Facebook page, figuring that out. I had that same process happen around. Producing the Spanish version of There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Uh-huh.
I would look at that translation and just go into despair uh-huh. and just close it down and not look at it for weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then one day, a wife, I guess, said, okay, open the document. So I opened it. So really look at it. So I looked at it and it was just clear as bell.
Uh-huh.
Just, so wow. That was really fun.
That's kind of the one that'll make you a believer, won't it?
Yeah.
I mean, to just wait for the clarity. Just wait. Wait for the clarity, wait for the prompts, and it'll be there.
Yes.
Always
and
is.
Practice knowing it's going to be there sooner rather than later if you let it be.
Yeah.
If you just shut everything out in despair. It's, you've kind of closed the door on the possibility.
Well, it sounds like you did shut it down in despair, but you still got the clarity.
Weeks and weeks later.
Uh-huh.
So we're way overdue, past the due date, but no one cares.
Yeah, so in a way, even all that's perfect, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there, because it sounds like there could be some coming in with, well, see, if you'd just done it earlier, then you wouldn't be late, and you know, so maybe there's there is something wrong, even though you had this wonderful, huge clarity and success, and why not just stay with the oh boy, look at that, it works, you know,
so
it works,
it's a thing too. Having external people say to you, here's how it needs to be changed, or it could be better in this way, that has just been huge in my life. Doing the work that I do, it has been such freedom to not have an ego attachment to what I have done, what I've produced, that then gets basically corrected or changed or mixed. Oh my God. The suffering, the ego, the just round and round, and then it's just literally a war. It just, the suffering wore it away, you know, the practice. It just.
So let me see if I'm with you. So there were times when there was this attachment to the work and the what you put out, and then to have those comments come in about what needed to be changed, what could you not maybe do it this way, and the suffering from that. And just over time, watching.
Resistance.
Better ideas and the resistance and the hanging on, it sounds like from your body language there. And just to have that worn away to where you can just put it out there. Freedom in that.
This is why I put my hands up to begin with. I'm going home, going back to Georgia in a few days. And I'm just being barraged by looking into the future, remembering the past. It's just a flood. And I just want to say that. And seeing it as a workshop, seeing it as practice and dropping it all over and over and over. Seeing it as not allowing any judgment to grab it and make something wrong. It's just what's going on. Memories and projections into the future. That's all.
So, and there is something, you know, you might even say sort of understandable about, okay, I'm going back to this place that I was born or raised or whatever, home, and to have this barrage of memories and projecting into the future, and that's just what's going on. And the stuff, boy, if ego could get that into, you know, all this kind of meaning, but, you know, then it could really drag you down into the suffering about it. But it's just the workshop now. It's just what's going on. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just what it is. And how are you working with that? How are you practicing with it as a workshop?
Well, the first thing that occurs to me is always something wants me to look at what it's doing to me. That's what it wants me to be distressed about, what it's doing to me. That's it's one of its main.
Be fascinated by what I'm doing to you.
Feel at least a little bit bad.
Yeah.
And when you record it, be sure to record what it is I've been doing to you.
Oh, that's good to see. So when you record, because, you know, you're going to record. Can't do anything about that. But at least now, make it about what I'm doing to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's always in the limelight there.
Yeah. It knows that I hate those recordings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I get lured into talking about what it's doing to me, uh-huh. I listen back to those. I hate those recordings.
Uh-huh.
And I was out in the garden before meditation, and recording, and it started out, my intention was to talk about what it was doing to me,
mm-hmm.
That it was being slammed back and forth between past and future and missing the present, which isn't true. When I really look at it, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But it is happening. That attention does get pulled back and forth mm-hmm. quite a bit. But I started recording about the flowers and all of those kinds of, and just everything that's there, and the fava beans and uh-huh. the artichokes and how pretty everything is.
Uh-huh.
And between every bit of it, it said, now talk about what I'm doing to you. and there was a sense of just, if I wasn't not doing it, it just didn't happen.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's such a key point, right? So there was no I in battle with conditioning. Talk about me. No, I'm not going to talk about you. Talk about me. No, I'm not going to talk about you. It wasn't that. It was just that the attention was
just kept
so
coming
honest.
Back. Kept coming. Yes. Kept
yeah.
coming out of conditioned mind and back into what's right there in front of me.
Yeah. And what, yeah, oh wow, that's so perfect. So the attention just kept coming out of conditioned mind into, oh, look at the flowers. Oh, look at the artichokes and the fava beans. There was so much beauty and so much life right there in front of you that the attention was just drawn there, there, there. Not from that ping pong, ego ping pong match there going on in conditioned mind. Even though you could feel it simultaneously, it sounds like,
yeah.
it just wasn't staying, it wasn't sticking. So, you know, what's dropping in is another recording might be to keep it on the, to celebrate how much attention loves being with life and isn't getting pulled off into what anything else is happening. It's just right here in front of me. You know, just basically, if ego wants you to report on its process, you're turning the tables and reporting on life's process, what life is doing. Life is staying here. Not only the flowers, not only the content of what's right in front of you, even though that's wonderful and fun too, but also the process that life is doing in that moment of staying here. And attention is just drawn like, you know, bees to the flowers, to this beautiful beauty in front of us or whatever, you know, because that is exactly what was happening. And so to report on that over and over and over. What is life doing? What's the process life's doing?
See, thank you.
Yeah. Let's go ahead.
What's coming up for me is in the discussion. I can't remember exactly how Sherry states it. I'm not sure if it's there's nothing wrong with you or making a change for good, but something about, you know, don't worry about or don't spend your time trying to get rid of things in your life that you don't want, but to add the things that you do want in your life. And that really works. I just realized that's what I've been doing, or life's been doing through me. I just kind of saw that process.
Uh-huh.
So I've been talking a little bit about, for a while now, about sort of these addictions. And I'm the vulnerable places to basically being in a self-hating process are after the schedule. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like the system knows there's nothing to bump up against for
mm-hmm.
a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to go home, then I'm going to go to bed. So it's a good, you know, whatever, 12 hours. So,
yep.
You know, it's trying to
get
in there.
Rub its imaginary hands together.
It's rubbing its imaginary hands together. And then the other one is just anytime I engage in a feeling bad process is a really vulnerable place because now I've got to cope with feeling bad. And the cope is the self-hate maintenance, mm-hmm. is those behaviors to feel to feel better, but really actually makes me feel worse.
Yeah.
And so like last night, it was just doing that thing. Well, why don't we look at this thing on? I mean, just really quickly. I mean it's practice oriented mm-hmm. on the phone. You know, mm-hmm. even though it's outside of the agreements, mm-hmm. it would be outside of being integrity. It doesn't talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Or why don't we have a snack? Even though I'm not actually hungry.
Yeah.
And it's just like, fill up the space yeah. is what it feels like.
Yeah.
And so what I did is I had a commitment to do some practice reading, and I had a commitment to do a recording. And I just stayed focused on that. So anytime it would come up, I would just, what I'm doing is, and actually I just turned it into, well, what am I doing now? Well, I'm on my way to the hermitage to do that. So what's going on now? I can feel my feet on the ground. What do I hear? You know, so I could just follow that process of what do I want in my life, which is just to be here essentially. And that focus of attention of I'm gonna get to that commitment was kind of the process was the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So once it's sort of like I'm gonna get to that commitment to do that reading was a commitment to being here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of going along the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw that again this morning. I had a commitment to draw a card out of the what universe are you creating. And you know, you sort of wake up and it's trying to get me to think about this or dawdle about that. And it's like, no, this is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And just how incredibly supportive that was.
Mm-hmm.
Because then not only did I get to do those things that nurture me, mm-hmm. that keep me in presence and take care of me, there was an intention for those that conversation, mm-hmm. trying to get me into those things that don't take care of me.
Yeah, yeah. Because what you have done is filled your life. It's that part that you started with of adding things in. You know, so I have these practice commitments. I have these, well, a whole series of practice commitments that fill your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so drawing the cards, doing the practice readings, making these certain recordings. So all of those things that are there that Scott has put into his life serve as the way to offer him the support he needs not to want to go with whatever conditioning is offering.
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. And the support is when I engage in those commitments, I'm in integrity. The attention is focused on something that expands the awareness,
mm-hmm.
and then that is the support to not want to do those things.
Right.
Because as soon as I get here, there's enough distance to see those little, hey, why don't you do-do-do-do,
yeah.
as was being spoken of, the little devil's temptations, you can see them for what they are.
Yeah.
And there isn't a desire to do them
yeah.
from a place of center.
And fullness, right? Because there's it's a place of center, it's a place of satisfaction, it's a place of being, you know, really
yeah.
happy. And without that support, that evidence, right? That evidence. So, but let's see. Things like you're pointing to is that by giving Scott that experience, he can now see those temptations for what they are,
mm-hmm.
and there's no choice. I mean, it's just really obvious what he wants. He doesn't
exactly.
want that.
Right.
But without those supports in place
mm-hmm.
and having the experience of really getting the satisfaction and the joy of center,
mm-hmm.
It's easy. Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
No wonder you choose to surf the net. You know, it's like, well, because he doesn't have... I remember a line from a Rumi quote, the sweet taste of felicity in your mouth. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's like without that,
yeah.
how do we ever choose anything?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. About that word that you said, satisfaction, that wholeness. Because those other things are chosen from believing that there's a dissatisfaction.
Yes.
Which is always what happens when my attention is on ego.
Yes.
I mean, that ego is dissatisfaction. It's an illusion separate from life. That
yes.
that is a process of lack.
Yeah.
Of
myth, yes.
of not wholesome, of
right.
scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And so if from that place, it's like, I need to feed.
Yes. Yes.
It, you know, I get confused. Feed me.
Yeah.
But really, it's
yeah,
feeding it. And you can see that by what you're just describing, making those movements
mm-hmm.
back to center, and there's a wholeness, there's a satisfaction. So from that place, I'm not dissatisfied. I don't need to go anywhere else.
Yes.
I don't need something, a snack when I'm not hungry. I don't need the attention to go to this article on, you know, I don't need to do that.
Right.
Why, it doesn't even really make sense.
It wouldn't even occur to you.
It doesn't even occur to you. Yeah.
Because it's so not what we would want, you know. It doesn't occur to us to hit ourselves in the head with a rock either, because it's so obvious that's not what we would want.
Yeah. Right? Or sometimes, you know, the things that are reading, and from a, you know, it can seem like, well, that's pretty enriching.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's kind of the bamboozle, but it doesn't point out the process of the damage of doing that out of integrity.
Right.
So, yeah, well, that article, it is interesting, and maybe it's enriching, but it's that trading the lead for gold.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going too, because until you've really appreciated and experienced the gold, then, you know, lead's pretty good, you know? But once we get it, and that's why it's so important what you're laying out about having all those practice commitments in place, because especially during those vulnerable times of, okay, I've got this big stretch of time where the schedule's not providing it, right? I don't have a work assignment, I don't have a this or that. And now, so Scott has put those in place, right, for you. And the structure of practice is to have them, right? And so now, with that support, it's like life saying, okay, now get to experience this gold enough over and over to where this lead stuff doesn't get it, that's not really what you want.
Yeah.
And until then, there's no beating about choosing the lead. It's, you know, it's lead. But, you know, but you're missing out on this. And so I want you to have this experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you were saying that, and what I keep hearing is about why it's so important to get out of the conversation and just practicing being present, because otherwise, if we don't know that experience of what it's like to be present, or, you know, what the gold is like, it doesn't really make sense to give up some of these things.
Yes.
Because we're coming from a place of, but it does make me feel better.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah.
And I was just seeing how important something like retreat is.
Yeah.
Because you get a chance to really experience the authenticity that we are over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's really, in general, my experience of the process of practice is like, whoa, this is possible?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it's like, you know, a couple months later, whoa, this is possible?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sort of, for me, it's sort of endless.
Yes.
About, wow, I was settling for that? And this is possible?
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
In fact, as you're saying that, it's dropping in. That's why, you know, that's why retreats exist, is to give people the experience of what is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, if we just, even though we know we have all these wonderful practice supports that are for far-flung sangha, there's no substitute for actually being on retreat, because that's where we have the experience to the depths that you're describing of what is possible. Then we go home and we can practice.
Yes.
Because we know it exists.
Because we know
it exists. We have experienced it.
Yes, we've had the direct experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Susan.
Well, this has been really helpful. I was thinking I have a piece of content that I'm just plain old tired of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And without Sangha, I would just believe, okay, I'm going to stick up for myself and stop doing it. But it's sort of the equivalent of taking vitamins. Like, it really is something I should, I mean, that's good for me.
Uh-huh.
And so I like the thing of adding.
Uh-huh.
You know, add, so, and I was thinking about what somebody was talking about earlier, that the mind gets to going about past and future, and then there we are in the garden. I mean, to me, that's like adding.
Yes.
It's still going on.
Yes.
I still have some dissatisfaction about this piece of content.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't mean I need to quit the job, you know. I mean, that is not
cut anything out.
Yeah, it doesn't mean, but I could add. And part of it is just the attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Add paying attention to it, probably. Similar to what people were describing, that rather than picking up the vitamins and looking at them, and, you know, I hate taking this many, you know.
that could be, you know, one at a time. Swallowing and drinking the water and feeling it go down, you know, that the approach, it never occurs to me alone, it doesn't seem to occur to ego that the perspective could shift, that that's what needs to happen, kind of what we've been doing in the weekly call. It says things need to change out here.
So the process that you're looking at is that in the ego world, there's this, you got to cut it out, you got to solve it, you got to ruminate. Basically, it's that whole ego process of going over and over and over something, trying to fix it.
Yes, there's something wrong.
There's something wrong, and I need to fix it.
And I need to fix it. Yeah.
And then in this other perspective that you're looking at this morning is that, and have been kind of toying with, is okay, maybe there's just another way, and that is to just bring the attention, and that's the adding, shift the attention to what I actually want, what's actually here, what's you know, working. And by shifting the attention to that, it's not focusing on a get rid of a problem, it's adding what is good and working and loving. And
I was thinking, because, you know, we're doing that in the class, right? So that some of the things are... I think the reason adding that language was good is it was just different. So I was sitting here, you know, I'm going to say, you know, vaguely hearing what everybody's saying. But then when somebody said it, a little difference, that adding, I just hadn't heard it, even though Sherry, you know, quoted it or whatever. So I think it was just a different way of saying what we say in all the different kinds of ways. It happened to disidentify me at the moment.
Don't you love it?
Yeah.
Well, here's attention, totally absorbed in an ego conversation, and then awareness is aware, just kind of aware, and then all of a sudden adding it, and attention goes, what?
Yeah. So it was just like that. It was, you know, exactly. I mean, And so that, I don't know, for some reason that word worked. That what I can add is even though it's the stuff we've talked about, unconditional love, kindness, patience, you know, all the things that we get the assignments for every day. The thing that popped to mind was like putting flowers out at home. You know, just kind of like I may have to clean the dishes every day, but maybe I could just take the time to consciously bring a little beauty to that, you know, more than just the basic, okay, got that, you know, people are talking about, got that done, yes, it's perfect, now on to the next thing.
That is so good. Let me stop you there, because that's so good. It's such a tangible example. So there are the daily chores, you've got to do the dishes, got to do this, got to get everything done, blah, 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 blah. And then it drops in, well, what if I added flowers?
Yes, because ego doesn't say that. Ego says, it's time I stop, you know, I'm going to make a stand, you know, kids, I'm done. But, you know, that's ego, but making me believe, you know, something.
And putting you in the victim role.
Totally.
And you're so put upon and all of that.
Exactly. And so, but if, and forgetting that I love how I clean the kitchen, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
I actually do. I like all of that.
And you love the kitchen and all of those
things. Yes. And so being a little kinder to the kitchen rather than doing what ego says, you know, getting all in a tizzy or whatever.
And I just love how that just drops in. Oh, flowers on the table.
Yeah, because really, I don't identify as a flowers on the table kind of gal.
Well, wait. Let's say I doesn't identify Susan. You're not. Susan, you're not that.
Well, and I always liked at the monastery, or even when my first retreat at Carmel, even the nuns, you know, there was always a little flower on the desk in our cell. Or same here. You know, there's just I'm always like, love that.
So Susan actually does love that.
I know.
And she notices it.
I love it. It does occur, you know, in this
way. You are that kind of a gal.
That's right. Thank you, Rebecca. I am. It's true. It's true.
But once again, ego lies.
Ego lies.
It's not the boss of
you. I like flowers. Okay. It's so inspiring, you know. You just kind of, I mean, I never know what to expect when I
I just think I'm going to come down and have a little break. You know, meditate. Feel the breeze on my face coming in. Before you know it, I realize I love flowers.
Yes. and you got the breeze on your face to boot.
And the what?
You got the breeze on your face.
Yeah, absolutely. That probably helped me realize I like the flowers.
I mean, you get it all, and you never know what you're going to get. It's like Christmas. You never know what's going to be offered.
It's true. Uh-huh. Every day could be just like Christmas. Yeah, I mean, what everybody was talking about. Oh, wow, I really do know how to operate Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's good to practice with the things, because they're actually pretty practical. When you were talking to somebody else, I thought you were going to say, they were talking about the past and the future and going home, and I thought you were almost going to say, well, it's pretty normal to, if we're going home, to recall memories. Mm-hmm. But ego wants to make that a problem.
Yes.
Well, now ego is getting you between the past and the future. Well, no, I'm just remembering.
It's like, no, duh, because I'm going home,
for God's sake. Exactly, yeah. Shut up.
Exactly.
I'm looking at the garden. You know, it's just kind of, which is similar to my, I mean, the process is all the same. Uh-huh. Somebody else's content, of course, is often easier for me to see than my own. Uh-huh. But when I look at theirs, then I'm like, oh, it's the same for me in the kitchen.
Yes, yes.
Or, you know, that I do that same thing. I start thinking about all the things I've done and how the past and the future and how I'm always good. And I miss that I could make it a little pretty in my kitchen.
Yeah. Well, and that is such a good thing. That is such a good thing to see about the ego process, is to exploit it for maximum suffering, and all we're doing is we're adding, how do we exploit, if we want to use that word, for maximum joy, right?
Yeah.
And so here I'm loving the kitchen. I love how I do the kitchen. I get the satisfaction of knowing that I get to love this and have the pleasure of it being clean the way I like it to be clean. It feels so good. And now it even drops in that I get to add a little color, and I get to nurture that little hidden, denied part of Susan that just really appreciates and enjoys flowers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, ooh, just, you know, reversing the process.
Yes.
Not maximum suffering, but maximum joy.
Yeah, and nothing had to change, but ego starts saying, sell the house, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
It goes to extremes.
Nothing had to change except shifting the attention out of that conversation.
Out of that conversation that's lying to me.
Yes. Yeah. Just lying and hates you.
Yeah, it does. So thank you.
Thank you. Jen.
That's where I was going in the conversation too this morning, is just that that Aikido move of, in my experience, the first movement is always a life movement. It's just that ego is so fast to pick it up that we miss that. Mm-hmm. And so just that place of everything that everyone talks about, I'm like, oh yeah, I had one of those in the last 48 hours, had one of those in the last 48 hours. Mm-hmm. But just that place of, like, you know, remembering something and, like, just going with it, picking up the recorder. Yes, it was so, and you know what I love about that person is, you know, and, you know, it's taking me into the future, and it's like, you know what, I'm just, my heart is open because I love, I don't know, whatever the thing is, you know. Or, like, I had one on one of these nights, I don't think it was last night, the night before, but I go home and, you know, got this thing that I want to do, and, you know, it just didn't go that way. I think I mentioned on Thursday night that at least I'm having a workshop with spring bringing a lot of critters, and they're living in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. And so the most recent one was birds. And realizing suddenly they're all nesting in places that, turns out, there's a place in the Hermitage that was never quite finished that I didn't realize.
Oops. But the birds realized.
They're finding it. So, and it was just such a good example of the earlier process of, because we'd taken care of it, it seemed like, earlier in the day, and then at 9 o'clock at night I realized we hadn't completely taken care of it. And it was just one of those places of, all right, good. The way I always talk about in those situations, let's call them the stormtroopers. So those are the folks internally who are willing to do anything at any time, in any weather, at any time of day, and they're completely happy to do it because they're caring for the human and doing it. So go get the ladder, get the tools, get the, you know, the whole thing. And such a place of, I am the expert, I am the expert. And receiving in that, what made me think of it was that place of, so going with what's going on.
Yeah.
So the ego story is, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
At this time, at this, but what's actually going on is love. Complete willingness. Mm-hmm. And to record about that, you know, even I wasn't actually recording, but I was doing it as I was walking, but I was saying out loud, you know, we want to do this. This is, and that's right, I'd forgotten, but I was saying, I have the physical ability to do this. I have the energy in the day to do this. It's light out. It's not raining. You know, I have the strength to carry this ladder over here. I mean, there's so much to be grateful for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so just, as you were saying, exploiting those moments for what's actually going on instead of into the story of like, oh my God, another critter in another place.
It is such an Aikido movement, mm-hmm. right? That going with it. It's something Sherry was saying recently about everything in life is improv.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
So there you go to your hermitage thinking you're going to have one kind
That's
of an
right.
evening, right? And it turns out there's another one. And instead of a... really? 9 o'clock? There's a yes, and I've got the energy, and I've got the, you know, and so there's the improv in action.
And the other thing that I really was seeing in it is that, again, I think I was talking about it on Thursday night, but to me, that place of I'm not going anywhere in my life, right? So I just feel like everything everyone's talking about this morning, it's that place of like, where am I trying to get that what's going on right here is not a perfectly good thing to be aware of and to love even, right? So I'm not, because the way it would get me to suffer in that situation is, you know, I'm ready to like wind down and go to bed.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going. Well, it turned out I'm not. And so if I never am attached to where I'm going or what, it, even like in my mind, I don't want this to be happening. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be thinking about the past. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be griping about that. I don't want to be, well, why not?
Yeah.
Right? This is what's going on.
Exactly.
So where am I going that this is not perfectly great?
Yes, it's that, it's getting it that those are the little seeds of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That where I'm going or what I want to have happen or where I, you know, just that.
It's the dissatisfaction that was being talked about earlier.
Yes. Yeah. And the moment we buy into that, it's kind of gotten us. Mm-hmm. Because then we're in the dissatisfaction. Mm-hmm. We've stepped out of satisfaction with what's here now into this belief of some kind of fictional story.
Mm-hmm.
And what you said is it's such a perfect antidote to that, which is, okay, so what? What? Where am I going? I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
Then, poof, we're back out. We're not believing.
Yeah, and you know, I just saw the ultimate Aikido move is like, I'm dissatisfied. I could be totally satisfied with being dissatisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just that place of like, so what?
That, there's that going with.
Yeah.
You're going with whatever.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I love that. I've been using that so what a lot too. It's such a powerful thing.
Yes.
So what?
That's your point.
Yeah. And it doesn't have one.
Right. That was the point, for you not to see that.
Exactly.
That was the whole point. That's all I got.
That's all I got. Yeah, it's such a satisfying moment, right, when we just... when we see not be karma.
Yeah, it's like going into the settings of karma.
Yes.
Like, wait a minute, let me just go into the settings. Log off.
That was such a good point, maybe, and then life at this step, oh, there's a little thing called settings.
Log off.
And then it disappears. Thank you. Thank you all.
Oh, well,
it's on there. It is the best, isn't it?